Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, and unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nasta Preshu Abadishu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatita Mishloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome in the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Agnati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chaksuran Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with a torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So we're beginning chapter 18, and I'll read the chapter summary. Prayers offered to the Lord by the residents of Jambudweep. In this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes the different varsas of Jambudweep and the incarnation of the Supreme Lord worshipped in each. The predominating ruler of the Bhadrasvara is Bhadrasvara. He and his many servants always worship the incarnation of the Lord as Lord Hare Krishna. At the end of each kalpa, when the demon Agyana steals the Vedic knowledge, Lord Harigriva appears and preserves it. He then delivers it to Lord Brahma in the land known as Harivarsa. The exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj worships Lord Nrisimhadev. The appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev is described in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, the inhabitants of Harivarsa always worship Lord Nrisimhadev. To receive from him the benediction of being engaged in his loving service. In the tract of land known as Ketumala Varsa, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hrishikesh, appears in the form of Cupid. The goddess of fortune and the demigods living there engage in his service day and night. Manifesting himself in 16 parts, Lord Hrishikesh is the source of all encouragement, strength, and influence. The conditioned living entity has the defect of being always fearful, but simply by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can rid himself of this defect of material life. Therefore, the Lord alone can be addressed as Master. In the tract of land known as Ramyaka Varsa, Manu and all the inhabitants worship Matsyadev to this very day. Matsyadev, whose form is pure goodness, is the ruler and maintainer of the whole universe. And as such, he is the director of all the demigods, headed by King Indra. In Hiranmaya Varsa, Lord Vishnu has assumed the form of a tortoise, Kurmamurti, and is worshipped there by Aryama, along with the other residents. Similarly, in the tract of land known as Putra Kuru Vasa, Lord Srihari has assumed the form of a boar, and in that form he accepts service from all the inhabitants living there. All the information in this chapter can be fully realized by one who associates with devotees of the Lord. Therefore, in the Shastras, it is recommended that one associate with devotees. This is better than residing on the banks of the Ganges. In the hearts of pure devotees reside all good sentiments as well as all the superior qualities of the demigods. In the hearts of non-devotees, however, there cannot be any good qualities, for such people are simply enchanted by the external illusory energy of the Lord. Following in the footsteps of the devotees, one should know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only worshipable deity. Everyone should accept this proposal and worship the Lord, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Vedaischa sarvairaham eva vedya. The purpose of studying all Vedic literature is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If, after studying all the Vedic literature, one does not awaken his dormant love for the Supreme Lord, it is to be understood that he has labored for nothing. He has simply wasted his time. Lacking attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he remains attached to family life in this material world. Thus, the lesson of this chapter is that one should get out of family life and completely take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So I have a commentary on the summary, which I'll read after we read the verses. This is 5:18:1. Dyslexia is kicking in. Sri Suka Uvacha Tatacha Bhadrasrava Nama Dharma Sutastatkula Patya Pataya Purusha Bhadrasvara Varse Saksad Bhagavato Vasudevasya Priyam Tanum Dharma Mayam Hare Sir Sabid Danam Paramena Samadina Sani Hapedam Abhigranta Upadhavanti. Translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Bhadrasrava, the son of Dharmaraj, rules a tract of land known as Bhadrasrava Varsha. Just as Lord Shiva worships Sankarshan in the Ilvarta Varsa, Bhadrasrava, accompanied by his intimate servants and all the residents of the land, worships the plenary expansion of Vasudeva known as Hayasrava. Hayasirsa. Lord Hayasirsa is very dear to the devotees, and he is the director of all religious principles. Fixed in the topmost trance, Bhadrasrava and his associates offer their respectful obeisances to the Lord and chant the following prayers with careful pronunciation. I have to forego the careful pronunciation. This is 5:18:2. Bhadrasrava uvacha. Om namo bhagavate dharmayatma vishodhanaya nama iti. Word for word is Bhadrasravasya uchu, the ruler, Bhadrasrava, and his intimate associates said, Om, O Lord, nama, respectful obeisances, bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dharmaya, the source of all religious principles, Atma Vishodhanaya, who purifies us of material contamination, Nama, our obeisances, Iti, thus. Translation, the ruler Bhadrasrava and his intimate associates utter the following prayer. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all religious principles, who cleanses the heart of the conditioned soul in this material world. Again and again we offer our respectful obeisances unto him. Purport. Foolish materialistic persons do not know how they are being controlled and punished at every step by the laws of nature. They think they are very happy in the conditioned state of material life, not knowing the purpose of repeated birth, death, old age, and disease. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes such materialistic persons as mudhas, rascals. Namam duskritino muda prapadyante naradama. These mudhas do not know that if they want to purify themselves, they must worship Lord Vasudev, Krishna, by performing penances and austerities. This purification is the aim of human life. This life is not meant for blind indulgence in sense gratification. In the human form, the living being must engage himself in Krishna consciousness to purify his existence. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam sudiyat. This is the instruction of King Rishabhdev to his sons. In the human form of life, one must undergo all kinds of austerities to purify his existence. Yasmad brahma sokyam tva anantam. We are all seeking happiness, but because of our ignorance and foolishness, we cannot know what is obstructed unobstructed happiness really is. We cannot know what unobstructed happiness really is. Unobstructed happiness is called Brahma Sukhaya, spiritual happiness. Although we may get some so-called happiness in this material world, that happiness is temporary. The foolish materialist cannot understand this. Therefore, Pallad Maharaj points out, Maya Sukhaya Bharam Udvahato Vimudhan. Merely for temporary materialistic happiness, these rascals are making huge arrangements, and thus they are baffled life after life. Commentary on the summary. We're going back to the summary now. So Srila Prabhupada said this, not me, but I do agree wholeheartedly, that there's no pleasure in family life, no practical pleasure. If you are serious about devotional service and your family is also serious, then there is allowance for family life and there's no need to abandon it. If this is not the case, then it's best to make plans to exit family life at the first opportunity. This does not mean that because the wife is argumentative or the children are disobedient that we make plans to depart immediately. No, this exiting business is best planned over many years, and it does not apply to women and children. They remain in the family. Happily, they may stay attached until children grow up or the mothers die. That's the children. Happily, the children may stay attached. Happily, a man may stay attached until the children grow up or the mothers die after being taken care of by the grown children. That is the Vedic ideal, and we see that this is still practiced here in India. We generally find many devotees are disturbed by such statements that family life is not the highest form of existence. When you get older, you may better understand the exit from family life principle. It's easier to understand with the passing of time. And I remember that when Jesus was approached by a young man who wanted to follow him, but to do so, he felt he should bury his dead father. His father had just passed away. And Jesus replied to him, "Let the dead bury their dead." So Christ was like a sannyasi. He had no time for family life. He had no concern. Although his mother followed him about, he was not concerned with her concerns. So this is very heavy stuff, and we see in the Christian world today the business of funerals is very popular. It is considered a necessity to have a large funeral, even if one is impoverished. I saw recently some people were taking up a collection from friends and neighbors and so forth to give their mother a great big funeral, a $10,000 funeral. They were impoverished, but they had no money, but they wanted to give their mother a big send-off. So what is this like? This is like departed one. They want the departed one to know that they were loved. But how will the departed person know that? The departed person is gone. The family expects a loved one to be hovering over the funeral, you know, as in a ghostly form, and making material calculations as to how much money was spent on the funeral. This is the mode of ignorance, is the worship of ghosts and spirits of the dead. This is a very common reality in the Western countries. Big send-off, big expensive caskets. Generally, $7,000 to $10,000 is the expense of a funeral. And as people are dying every day, the morticians are making a great deal of money. They're very careful at hiding how much money they're making, though. Very interesting. So, on the verses, I want to say, instinctively we seek happiness. But because we don't know what happiness is, we look in the wrong direction. Because we're covered in ignorance, we seek temporary material solutions to our eternal problem of having a perfect, loving relationship. But this is everyone has this same problem, how to have love, how to get love from friends, family, etc. And so much frustration is there. The temporary solutions are mistakenly giving our loving propensity to material things. What are the material things? They are the things, any things, that we are not using in Krishna's service. Our loving propensity may be spent on a body, our own or those of others. It may be spent on the appliances of the body, the adornments of the body. Appliances means cars and bicycles and so on. People love so many different things that afford them to extend their influence and their progress, so-called progress in material life, their ability to travel. Even the subtle things, such as fame of the body, in this way, we placate the false ego, embracing it as all in all. Now, the first commandment of the Ten Commandments is that I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have any strange gods before me. So the Christians and the Muslims, they take this as a indication that you should not worship idols, so they condemn the Vedic process of worshiping the devotee, the deities. But actually, there's so many other idols in their society. They're worshiping the sports heroes, they're worshiping the movie stars, they're worshiping the famous people, the rich people, and so forth. So much influence. Prabhupada uses the example, one man had a picture of Hitler on his altar in Calcutta, because Hitler was very powerful, so he was worshiping. This is like the mode of passion. People in the mode of passion, they worship other people who they consider to be successful. So, anything can be made spiritual by our having Krishna consciousness in its employment, and its use, and its utility. So the family, of course, is also possible to make spiritual. We just have to keep in mind, what is the reality of our existence? We ourselves are spiritual. We are souls. But we are not aware of this elevated status. We're constantly forgetting that I am a soul, that I'm spirit. We think we are our bodies, our minds, and our great intelligence. We see the various material atmas, the selves, but we usually don't see our spiritual self or its relationship to the Paramatma, the Supreme Self. So, in our instructive grasping for pleasure, in our instinctive, it's also instructive, but it's a failed instruction. In our instinctive grasping for pleasure,